A controversial development near Big Cottonwood Canyon gets shot down by the Salt Lake City Council. The House Special Investigative Committee of Utah Attorney General John Swallow holds their first meeting, and Salt Lake County comes to an agreement with Valley Mental Health. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Wednesday, August 6th. I'm Brian Grimmett. The Salt Lake County Council has denied the rezoning application for a controversial development near the mouth of Big Cottonwood Canyon. Council members cited building heights, canyon access, and a general lack of support from the community and city leaders. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
Speaking on behalf of Tavachi developer Terry Deal, attorney Bruce Baird assured the council if they approved the zoning application, his client would comply with any additional conditions the county might impose.
If the county engineer says you have to do something, we'll do it. If the county fire department says you have to do something or you can't do something, we'll do what we have to do and we won't do what we can't do.
But promises weren't enough for four of the seven members of the council who voted against the rezone. District 2 Councilman Michael Jensen argued the process for approving rezones is flawed.
If they can't meet the conditions, then the development might not ever get done. Or the conditions might be so steep that economically they can't go through with it, but they've still got the zone change. If we could hold them to exactly what they said they were going to build, we probably would unanimously say we're going to build, okay, but we can't.
Terry Deal originally planned to build a cluster of homes on his 47-acre parcel, but later sought rights from Cottonwood Heights to build a mix of residential and commercial units as tall as 8 stories high. When Cottonwood Heights gave Deal a thumbs down, he approached the county. Cottonwood Heights Mayor Kelvin Cullimore said while Deal was entitled as a property owner to approach the county, the project will still have a direct impact on his city.
We view a building of 8 stories sitting up on that plateau as kind of a middle finger pointing back at the city that denied the application. And so we really would rather not see those tall of structures.
Attorney Bruce Baird told KUER his client will need time to decide how to move forward with the development. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
The House Special Investigative Committee of Utah Attorney General John Swallow held their first meeting yesterday and received a general overview of their new responsibilities. Members of the Office of Legislative Research and General Counsel briefed the 9-member Special Investigative Committee on several topics, including what the process will look like and how much it could potentially cost. Legislative General Counsel John Fellows says the investigative process will begin once the outside special counsel is selected this Friday. The special counsel will then begin collecting documents, such as emails, notes, and audio recordings. After those are collected, the committee will be able to begin questioning witnesses. Fellows then warned the committee that the document collecting step will take longer than they expect.
It's not unreasonable, for example, and you may all shudder at this, but it's not unreasonable to think that we might not be prepared to call witnesses until November or December.
Fellows also says that timeline is a best-case scenario.
Whatever schedule we adopt, whatever plan we have, can be all thrown topsy-turvy if somebody files a lawsuit.
A longer investigation would also lead to a larger price tag. Fellows estimates that it would cost as much as $3 million, if not more. Representative Jim Dunnigan is the committee's chair. He says they won't be putting a cap on their spending, but that they are well aware of where the money is coming from.
We are very cognizant of the fact that we are using taxpayer dollars to fund and operate this committee, and we want to be very judicious with those dollars and have good accountability.
The committee will hold their next meeting in 3 to 4 weeks. Salt Lake County Mayor Ben McAdams says an agreement has been reached that will prevent more patients from being dropped from Valley Mental Health's client roles. KUER's Andrea Smartin reports.
Last month, Valley Mental Health began delivering letters to some of its clients, notifying them that they would be transitioned to other clinicians. The nonprofit provider cited cuts to the amount of money it receives to provide services. Valley Mental Health warned that it may shed as many as 2,200 patients. So far, about 730 have received letters. County Mayor Ben McAdams says he and his staff have been looking to find a way to avoid more cuts.
Simply cutting 2,200 people was not an acceptable option. So we've been talking with Valley Mental Health about how we're going to transition some of these people, but also looking for if there's another way to help Valley Mental Health balance their budget without cutting so deeply that will have effects throughout the community.
McAdam says the county has developed a plan to help 120 people who currently use the Valley Mental Health Respite Program to retain their care and in most cases retain the same provider. The county's mental health services contractor, Optum Health, will take over the management of the Respite Program, which provides support for caregivers in their home. McAdam says this arrangement will be more efficient and save Valley Mental Health money, hopefully preventing further cuts to their patient roles. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
Three pieces of the meteorite that exploded in the atmosphere over Chelyabinsk, Russia, earlier this year are on display at the Clark Planetarium. Planetarium Director Seth Jarvis says scientists were caught by surprise by the event, even as they were watching another asteroid that flew by the Earth that day.
This one totally blindsided us, which I think is kind of a cosmic dope slap. It's a bit of a wake-up call. You know, the universe is tapping you on the shoulder and says, hey, dummy, pay attention to this. This stuff happens. And on February 15th, I'm going to give you a double dose of wake-up.
The Chelyabinsk meteorite created a shockwave as powerful as a nuclear bomb and blew out windows all over the region. More than 1,000 people were injured. An upcoming restoration project along the Jordan River will create about 5 acres of new wetlands in Salt Lake City. It's one of several efforts underway to enhance the city's waterways with the help of funds from a settlement agreement with Chevron Pipeline Company. The oil company spilled thousands of gallons of crude oil into Red Butte Creek in 2010. This project is on the 900 South corridor of the Jordan River at about 1,000 West. It involves lowering floodplains to expand wetlands and weed out non-native plants. Ray Wheeler lives along the Jordan River near the project site, and he's also a co-founder of the Jordan River Restoration Network.
This is, I think, a step forward in that in a fairly large urban area, really in the heart of, almost in the heart of downtown Salt Lake City, we're going to see new wetlands created, and that is rather extraordinary.
Wheeler says the wetlands are home to a large number of wildlife species, including migratory birds and amphibians.
Agricultural and residential and commercial development are disappearing their habitat. And if we disappear too much habitat, we lose more every year. If we disappear all of it, the birds will also disappear, and that will be an immense loss to this city and the state.
On August 17th, the city's open space program will begin clearing the site, weeding and seeding, and volunteers are encouraged to turn out to help. The federal government is planning to protect two kinds of wildflower that grow only in eastern Utah and western Colorado, and only in areas where there are oil, shale, or tar sands near the surface. Graham's penstemon and the White River penstemon are two related species, similar but smaller than the common garden flowers of the same genus. They grow in areas of Utah's Uinta Basin where the oil shale is near the surface. Becky Hotze with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says the plan is to designate about 80,000 acres of critical habitat for these two flowers under the Endangered Species Act. But she doesn't think it will necessarily shut down energy development in those areas.
We would hopefully be able to work out ways that they can still manage their oil shale or get the oil shale out of the ground, but we want to make sure that we have enough protections in place so that the species does not go extinct.
The issue of an endangered species listing for those flowers has been controversial for a number of years. Graham's penstemon was withdrawn from a potential listing in 2006, but environmental groups took the issue to court and won.
The mayor of Harriman has resigned with about 6 months left in his term. Josh Mills says he's facing new circumstances in his day job and he doesn't have time to do the part-time mayor's job any longer. The city council will appoint an interim mayor later this month. There are 4 candidates running for mayor of Harriman in next week's municipal primary election. A Grand County Sheriff's deputy who found his wife in bed with his father, Moab's fire chief, has been sentenced to 2 years probation for assault in a family love triangle. Both men resigned days after the incident on July 11th. Court records show Timothy Brewer pleaded guilty yesterday to a pair of misdemeanor assault charges, one for attacking a Moab police officer. And finally, a new breast milk bank in Utah County is taking in far more donations than its organizers expected. The Utah County Health Department says it's received more than 1,000 ounces in 2 weeks. Their goal was 10,000 ounces in a year. The milk is frozen and sent to Colorado to be pasteurized. Then it's used by hospitals across the Mountain West. And that is your KUER News Pod for Wednesday, August 6th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org or follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.